And it's very, very, very easy for it to happen under the anointing. Are you hearing me? Some of the things the Spirit of God going to train you into, begin tonight, train you in some things that will break generational curse. Family ties that have you bolted down to a certain level because nobody in your family ever broke that barrier. There's so many ways to explain this. I had a conversation with the first lady today. Her and I was sitting down before I came in. I got dressed. We were sitting in the great room of our home, and we were talking about this lesson that I'm about to teach. You're still dealing with your soul, and I'm about to open all five gates of the soul so clear that it'd be astounding to you. I need the Holy Spirit help. I need your expectation. I need you to somewhat skip the known and skip the natural. And, we're talking about the supernatural on Sunday. This is not complicated. Everything the Lord did for us, he did it real simple. But here's the key. It's a mystery. And that I'll just tell you right now, you have the ability to operate on the frequency of the Holy Spirit. That was given to you. You can get on the frequency of the Holy Spirit and see exactly what the Holy Spirit is seeing and become empowered to do whatever the Holy Spirit says. That's the way God designed you. And so some things I have to repeat it 3 and 4 times because I wanted to get down into you to confirm to you that you're not a regular person. No man can be regular with Christ on the inside of him. You understand? We have been regular to a certain extent in the church because we have regular Bible study, regular Sunday worship, regular Bible reading, regular Bible chats. But the Bible will bite you tonight. These are words I can't, some things in the mystery world that you can't fully describe. So all I can say is the Bible will bite you. It will wake you up to your rights, to your ability, to the right frequency. I think the church has been all frequency. I don't think she's been, we've accomplished something. And I'm not belittling about when I talk about this, all I'm trying to do is get to it. I'm not trying. It's the grace of God. Everybody knows it's the grace of God. You open your Bible to 2 Corinthians. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians in the 10th chapter. You've read this before now, but let's read it, and I'm going to pray, and then we'll go right on. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I read the whole chapter, and I'll tell you how it starts flowing. They're talking about the gentleness and the meekness of Christ. But then it ended up into a boldness. And what happened when a person don't understand the ability of Christ functioning in a person, they mistake boldness for arrogance. That's what happened in this chapter. When you read it, I want you to look for that. Paul's authority was being questioned. But he got down to explain something about, you remember the Bible says in Romans 12:3, God have dealt to every man the measure of faith. You remember God, how he said that, the Holy Spirit said that for a man not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, and we have come to the conclusion, he didn't say you couldn't think highly of yourself, just not more highly than your measure. Wait a minute. Not more higher than the measure. Now, see, your measure can consistently increase if you feed it. But what happened, many Christians get ahead of their measure. And by getting ahead of your measure, you get in trouble. Are you following me? See, God have dealt to every man the measure of faith. But that measure can be improved, increase, develop, and then you can start thinking higher. Y'all ain't getting it. You start thinking higher because your measure can stand or can obtain furtherance in the things of God. See. And so when you read in this chapter, these people, Paul has such a meekness and such a boldness with him, he would shipwreck religion. He called up and do something out of the ordinary, and everybody, all religious folk, get scared of him. I hope none of y'all don't get scared. These scriptures are familiar, but so Paul was explaining to them, I'm operating in another dimension, and you're trying to figure me out in a lower dimension. The two dimensions are not going to work. You're not going to be able to comprehend the mysteries working from a religious standpoint. See, some of y'all are right. I kept standing up too long already. You just satisfied with just saying a prayer. No. It's time for your breakthrough. Do you know you don't need no breakthrough in heaven, right? You know you're not going to need no car in heaven. You know that, right? Your Lexus is not going to heaven with you. You understand that? But the Lord said you can have a Lexus. Yeah, you can have a breakthrough. I mean a breakthrough. All right. So now, all right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I see in the capture of my Bible, you might have a Bible like I have, it says Paul's spiritual might at the top of the page in my Bible, in 2 Corinthians, talking about Paul's spiritual might. And he's going to explain how this might work. But to correct these people who thought he was too bold. If you're operating in one dimension and another person watching out another dimension, they can't keep up with you. So now they got to label you in order to pacify, now don't get upset, pacify their ignorance. Because if somebody operating in the spirit and you're trying to follow them in just a mental man, or religion, they're going to lose you. So somebody about to get embarrassed. So instead of you not getting embarrassed, you come up with some type of attack to cover your silliness. You follow what I'm saying? And that's what happened. All right? Now, so Paul says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So what you see is not all you get. It's more in this room than what you see. And I don't know why the Lord wants me to say this, but possibilities are flying all over your head. And it's yours for the grabbing, okay? Then he says, now you notice in my Bible, this is in, you're actually supposed to go to the fifth verse now. The fourth verse is a verse of amplification. If you read it in the, read the third verse, Watch. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You go to the fifth verse, casting down imagination and every high thing that, but in those imaginations, the fourth verse is explaining the enemy build what you call stronghold in your imagination. Right, got it? So when you see them little brackets, that means that's there for amplification. You're actually going to the next verse on the other side of that verse or the other side of those brackets. And none of my fault you didn't know that. But I want you to know it tonight. So when you're reading the Bible, you can recognize God is trying to amplify something. So I'm going to read the amplification. For the weapon of our warfare, not carnal. And he's saying the same thing. He said, we're walking out in the flesh. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that's a hold that Satan take on you. And pin you down and you can't move. And you can't function and you can't flow. And then he goes on to say, casting down imaginations, plural, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I want to show you something now. I want you to keep standing, and then I'm going to pray, then we're going to get in the word. I want to show you something. You remember the Tower of Babel, right? Yes, turn to the 11th chapter of Genesis. Turn to the 11th chapter of Genesis. The world is using something that God gave to you better than you used it. And that's why the world is more, how can I say this, Lord? You know, it's nothing more advanced than being a Christian. I mean, that's the nitty-gritty. But in this life, that's why the world is so far ahead of many Christians in living. And even though Jesus made the announcement, I come that you might have life, might have more abundant, the world still, you still got the owls and the oohs watching TV, seeing these people live a life that is designed for you to live, but yet you haven't got to the point where you can live it. And sometime you believe you never will. But because for a large degree, the church has forfeits her rights. So there in Genesis chapter 11, we'll sit down in a minute. Might let you stand up half of the meeting, but just. I'm not going to read the whole story. I just want to pinpoint the sixth verse. You read the rest when you get home. You'll see how they was operating, how they was functioning in such power and dominion. It's because they were doing something. But notice what the Lord said about them. Notice what the Lord said about them in 6th verse. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now notice what he says, what the Lord said about them. Now these people are not doing nothing godly. But they are using a godly principle. Most of the entrepreneurs who are not saved, most of the rich folks who are not saved, most of the folks who live in a big life who's not saved, they have used God principle and got where they are. Somebody said, well, God don't hear no sinner prayer. Yeah, but God understands his principles. Now, they can't use it as good as you could, but we're so busy singing. And trying to find out who the man, who the real, who the biggest, who preached the best. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. I want you to underline that while you're standing. Because that's talking to you. Once I and the Holy Spirit teach you this lesson, that statement is going to belong to you.
Y'all don't believe me.
Yes, sir. You can get in that position with God if you know what you're doing. I am. Right here tonight, I am. Nothing can be restrained from me. If I set my heart on it, set my mind on it, it got to move. And that's for the whole church. Notice what it says now. Notice what it says. You got to see this. Oh, my. Kelelabasha. My goodness. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So the Lord said, I got to go down there myself and stop them because they're working this principle so well. They're trying to work it against me. Or try to work it without me. But suppose you and I learn how to work it with God guardians. You see what I'm saying now? So you can put your, if you partake of the revelations that the Holy Spirit is going to put out tonight, the end of that voice belongs to you from now on. With God's permission. I'd like to jump out there on y'all just now. With God's permission. We got too many things. Good God Almighty. And now nothing. And now nothing. How y'all like that? And now nothing. Put yourself there now. Say you're in cooperation with God and you know how to use this principle these people are using, and you hear God saying, now nothing will be restrained from her, from him, from them. But notice the last statement. What the last statement is? All right, underline the word, circle the word, imagine, and you may be seated. You may be seated. Father, thank you tonight for opening our eyes and opening our ears and opening our hearts that we can receive. In Jesus' name. Those of you taking notes, I want you to write down receiving godly impartation to your imagination. Receiving godly impartation to your imagination. Your imagination can start a powerful flow for your faith. You can see it before you have it. With your imagination, there's something you have to do. And the Lord just dropped this in my spirit. I said, wow, I said, right quick. You got to drain it. You got to drain your imagination. Take bad stuff out of it. That's the way they change oil, you know. They take a plug out and let it come out. So that's what the Spirit told me. Before you try to train your imagination, you got to drain it. Train it means put good stuff in it. Are you with me? And then an expansion take place in your life. Your life begin to expand because what you're going to do is keep feeding it God's word. Keep feeding your imagination God's word. You see, you were created in the root word of imagination. Thank you. Your imagination can put you on the frequency of thinking like God. Your imagination has the right, many scriptures, but this one here, to call things that be not as though they were, because you're about to create them with God. The imagination, and I have to read a lot of stuff here because it's too much stuff, is an incredibly powerful component to your spirit life. Your spirit life going to live insufficient without using your image or your imagination properly. Now listen, it's further up the road. This is not New Age stuff. This is not positive thinking. This is not mind over matter. You understand that? This is principles in God's word, something God have deposited in the church that the church can function in his mystery and that you can be where you're going before you get there. That you can have what you want before it arrives. And that if you had any bad experience in your life, in your imagination, you can take the word of God, go back to that bad experience, and change it to what it should have been. When you learn how to function in your imagination, or when you learn how to operate in the image of God, you will see in the mirror of your spirit what God said you can have. And it'll come to you. Now listen to this statement. Some of these statements I need to make them more than one time. The human imagination is the preparation tool for building in the realm of the spirit. See, because you have an imagination with God character. And so your imagination is in your soul. Developing your soul is preparatory to operating in your spirit. If you don't get your emotion under control, if you don't know that you can have sanctified emotions, sanctified feeling, a sanctified intellect, sanctified reasoning, if you don't know that, you got a problem. If you don't know you can have a sanctified memory, you can have, now here it is, a sanctified imagination and a sanctified will, you're not going to be able to function in the spirit of life as you should, because they work together. So in preparation here, the human imagination is the preparational tool for building in the realm of the spirit. Now, some of this stuff I started to mark in yellow before I come out a few minutes ago, because that's something I want to see him. Your imagination is a gift from God, all right? Now watch, I'm going to give you three things that it can do. I mean, this is man, I don't really have a word to express it, so I'm just going to say it. The imagination, my imagination is a gift from God. Say it, my imagination. All right. Number one, to take me places before I get there. The way it's written down, to take us places before we get there. A godly imagination. You already gone now. Now, here. Ooh, Jesus. Your imagination is supernatural transportation. You notice that wasn't in my notice, just drop it in my spirit. It's supernatural transportation. You can go, you don't have to catch a bus. You can take your imagination and go there. If you want to go in a Learjet, you can go in a Learjet. You can go anywhere you want to go, but your imagination is supernatural. It's just, what way you want to go there? And your imagination take you there. Your imagination enable you to do things before you actually experience them. Do things before I experience them. Yes, that's what it's there for. And the third thing is to have things before you physically possess them. But that's strong. I said that's strong. And you cannot, and in this church you will not, waste your imagination. It's not positive thinking. It's not mind over matter. It's not a new age concept. It's not psychology. It is God's gift to you to function as he functions. I'm created in his image. So I must have, listen to me now, I must have some supernatural routes I can take. Satan took it out of the church. The street caught a hold of it. For the church a long time was singing about going to heaven because it was so rough down here, so it'd give them something to look forward to. Don't shout me down now. Now, in Corinthians, what we read is, in 2 Corinthians 10, is moving the negative out of your imagination. Moving Satan out of your imagination. A lot of people are sick in their imagination. Their body really not sick. They call it, what, psychomatic? Psychologically, they're sick. The doctor can't find nothing. Ain't no demon there. They're just sick in their mind. Now, you must understand, this is not a fantasy. It is preparation. When we develop our imagination, listen, we develop our future. When we develop our imagination, we develop our future. If the imagination work evil so well, I wonder how well it will work holy. But some too holy to work it. They want to take some other route. And you will be left behind. If you don't hear this message, if you don't understand that your imagination is a gift from God and you can fine tune it to the frequency of the Holy Spirit and you can imagine with the Holy Spirit how things should come out, he'll make it happen. This is a term, I've read psychology books, many of them, because I was inferior. And, the Lord, I was just thinking about it, preaching in Madison Square Garden, and I walked out. I told the man, this is my last night. I'm not preaching anymore. Spirit of God told me that's it. What preacher would do that, man? I won't preach in Madison Square Garden. There ain't many preachers preaching in Madison Square Garden, you know. But the Lord told me my time was up. I walked away from some of the biggest ministries in the world. And I'm so glad, because if I had, I wouldn't be here teaching you on imagination tonight, because I wouldn't have studied enough to get where I am. I said that to say this. This is a true statement. The world have coined this statement, but you need to hear it. Whatever the mind conceive, it can achieve. No limits. Whatever the imagination can conceive, it can achieve. No limits. No limit? No limits. No limits. No limits. Not if you can go somewhere before you get there. Huh? Not if you can have something before you physically possess it. You already got it. Your fate is on the roll. You got a snapshot in your imagination. Your imagination and your fate talk. Hope is developed. And your fate said, hope and I are going to bring what you imagined. Every one of you under the sound of my voice is living below your means. All in Africa, all of you, I don't care who you are. You're living beyond your means as a Christian if you don't know how to develop, how to train your imagination to be anointed to function and combine with the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
God himself created the imagination. And whatever the mind conceive, it can achieve. See, the world stole that. Go back over this truth in Genesis chapter 11. People gathered together to make a plan to build a tower to reach heaven. They imagined a people who would be unified under a central form of worship, but not to God. It was negative. But they imagined a people who would be unified into a central form of worship, language, economy, and culture. The only way they imagine it. Now just we take the word of God and put the same emphasis on it. We got God economy that belonged to us. You see me? Y'all still with me? Watch me now. Watch. Again, God came down himself. God came down and saw what they were doing and saw their mindset regarding it. The imagination is powerful. I'm going to give you two things in developing your imagination. Two things it would do for you. Two things it would do for you. And let's say I'm preaching from the part C of verse 6 in chapter 11 of Genesis. We're getting in a non-restraining position by locking into the frequency of the Holy Ghost with our godly imagination. Now, what make our imagination godly? We feed it the Word of God. And when the Word of God get in it, it changed into what God designed it to be for us. Your imagination is not evil. Your body is not evil. Your mind is not evil. Your spirit is not evil, nor your body evil. It's the lower nature of the flesh is evil. Paul said he wanted to do right and he couldn't do right. What he didn't want to do, he did it. Then Paul finally said, I found out there's sin having dominion over me. So the development of the imagination does two things for us. First, it increases the borders of our mind. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch our mind flip into a strong, godly imagination. Here's the first part. I've never done that before. Now it's become, I can do it this way. I never done that before, but now by higher spiritual energy from the word and from revelation and from insight in God's word, you come to a place that you enter into the mysteries of God and your faith now trusts in God in such a way that thing you have never done before, now you know I can do it this way. That's one aspect of it. Second way, it breaks mental limitation. I can't do it. Turn out to be, I know I can do it. See, because you're not dependent on your own strength. Who am I? You're not even dependent on your own prayer. You're depending on the one who you're praying to. Yeah. Now, here's the question, and check the dial. The question is, are our imaginations set on something godly or ungodly? That's the key factor. Now, most of you all in here, you notice I said most because I don't know everybody. Most of y'all in here, you really got godly things on your mind. But you got to learn how to function in this thing now. You got to learn how to function in this thing. You got to stop accepting what you see. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now faith, that's 2 Corinthians 5:7. Now Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now watch this. And the evidence, imagination, of things not seen. Now, your faith and imagination have caught hands. Yes, sir. Your faith and imagination, listen to me, your faith and imagination have caught hands operating in God's plan. Yes, sir. Write that down. You need to write that down. That's a whole lot. I just got that out of the Spirit. Your faith and your imagination, your godly faith, and your godly imagination has caught hand in God's godly plan. No man, no demon, nothing can stop that. No group, no committee. This is more than what I'm about to say. You have to catch it in a deeper dimension. Maybe I got to. What we see is what we get. Now, you know I ain't talking about you looking at me or looking at that person next to you. I ain't talking about that kind of scene. Everybody see that. I'm talking about your imagination can cause you to see in the mysteries of God. Where man stops, your imagination is just starting. Everybody in here ought to get ready to go on an imagination cruise. It's a powerful weapon that God has given you. You don't have to care who don't believe it. Because to operate spiritually, to function above normal religious standard, you're going to have to hurt a few people feeling. You're going to have to cut a few cousins loose. Because they're not ready to go, and everybody trying to hold you at that level. Reverend so-and-so said this. I'm not talking about what Reverend so-and-so said. I'm talking about what Reverend Jesus said. What Reverend Holy Spirit said, that what Reverend God said, if you want to use the Reverend, that's who I'm talking about. May God have mercy on me for bringing him down that low, Reverend. Because we don't know the concept, we don't even know what the concept means. It's actually honor. Satan uses our imagination. See, a negative imagination can be used to create negative mental pictures of who we think we are. This is what it means by having a negative image of yourself. A lot of people look in the mirror of what people say about them. That's crazy, man. I tell you what, the most important statement made by me is going to be made by me. By me. You might not like my tie or nothing, or suit or nothing. I don't care. I looked in the mirror, I liked it. And it's just an example of how life has to be. All right. This comes from the imagination being programmed the wrong way. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too poor. I'm too smart, and so forth. So in that, that's why the psychologist is making so much money. Because he says the type of behavior, this type of behavior have birthed a profession of psychologists who try to get into people's imagination to try to unravel the negative mindsets they have because of how important imagination is to a person's quality of life. You have to let God give you the determination about how you think about yourself. What God's word says. Huh? Not what I'm dealing with right now says. What God's word says. This is a statement that I put in yellow. You can see it in yellow. If the imagination is not fixed, the person could be doomed to disaster. Wow. The Bible called these negative imaginations, we read it, called them stronghold. And those strongholds in your imagination control people's lives. And you remember what we're dealing with now? Wow. Remember what we're dealing with? Receiving godly impartation. See, while I'm talking apostolically, I'm releasing an impartation in you that your imagination can go a different route. And that when you look in the mirror of your imagination, you're going to be looking on the frequency of the Holy Ghost. That's a wrap. That's a wrap then. That's a wrap. And so whatever your mind can see, that it will achieve. What they project exactly what happened. The more the strongholds in the imagination are backed up by memories of negative event, the harder life becomes. Some of y'all there now. Some of y'all dealing with some stuff now. I know some of y'all dealing with some stuff. That's why the Lord had me teach this. See. You listening? Wow. If we want to change our future, we must develop our imagination. How many of y'all ready for some changes? Yeah, this night is a night for you. I'm saying more than you hear it. But thank God you have the Holy Spirit. He will come to you. He will knock on your heart. And he will expose you to some mysteries I'm saying to you tonight. Because a whole lot of things I don't know. That I'm looking forward to get farther and deep and strong in the things of God. And all imagination is, let's make it simple. All imagination is simply understanding the way God created us. To function like him. A demonic stronghold in our imagination will destroy our future. Now, every now and then, you got to tell him, come out, come out. he can't get in your spirit, but in that imagination, you get in there. Every now and then, you got to tell him, come on out of here. Come out in the name of Jesus. See, some of y'all so spiritual, y'all don't want to call him out. You say, I got them. I got them. They think they're cool. No, I said, come out. Come out, you foul spirit. Come out in the name of Jesus. That don't mean you're bad. That means you're good. That means he's scared of you. That's why he tried to cut Moses off. Try to cut Jesus off. You see, he's going to try to cut you off because he knew you got the sword. He's getting there to oppress you, depress you. Tell you ain't nothing because you ain't found some man. Ain't no man gonna make you. He might break you, but he ain't gonna make you. The man no exists can take the place of God. The pornography industry, Lord. Generate billions of dollars every year because of the power of people's imagination to become addicted to pornography. You want to know where racism comes from? Negative imagination has spawned racism, demonic cults, and horrible acts of hatred. And none of them happen in one day. It's just build and build and build and build. Now, you know what it's going to take to wipe all that stuff out? Divine love. Love will move it. They will develop day by day through stronghold. Now, how are you reared? What kind of household you came up in? Was mom and daddy both there? You just was raised by mama? Did your parents get divorced at an early age? Or you been going from house to house? And that all that stuff get in your imagination? But I got good news for you. It doesn't matter. At this point in your life, this night, the Holy Ghost said he can do a new job for you. He can remove all that hurt, all that pain. You don't have to carry it no more. Tonight you can dump it like a dump truck. You don't have to care what it was look like, who did you wrong, and all that stuff. You can just forget that stuff now and begin building a new imagination, building a new life, building a new anointing. Are you hearing me? Don't care what they did to you on the job. Don't care how far you went in school. You had to drop out of school to get a job to help the family. It doesn't matter. When you recognize that God has built you to live on his lifestyle and begin to think like God, because God didn't say you couldn't think his thought. He just said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But when you train your imagination, you can have God's thought in your mind, in your subconscious, in your brain, in everything else. Now, can you see how important this is? Prisons are filled with people who are imprisoned in their imagination concerning their future. They get out and do it again. Get out and do it again. And then all of a sudden they think this is where I'm supposed to live. Then secondly, now this is very damnable here. So I want you to hear it. People have gotten sick and have even died because of negative imagination. Some doctors say I couldn't help them. And as a pastor, I know some people I couldn't help. I couldn't help them. They're quoting scriptures and dying all the time. They wasn't paying no attention to my anointing. They wasn't paying no attention to me. They're trying to preach the Bible to me. I ain't dying, you dying. Shut up. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm trying to turn this thing around. There's a death angel around this bed. I know death angel when I walk in the room. I know he in there. Yeah. I said, we got to deal with this. You got to come to some realities in your spirit. Yes, quoting these scriptures ain't going to get you out of here. You know what the Spirit of God just is saying to me? By not knowing, your imagination can become a junkie. Just get addicted to everything. If you don't know how to control your imagination, actually the television run in your life. Because you just carrying all those people's imagination. Fantasy. Not real. Search for tomorrow. The God in light. And now you out there searching for tomorrow and getting your tail whooped today. The Bible said, take no thought for tomorrow. Enough evil today. But you're searching for tomorrow because you know, that's your favorite. And you know them people, you know those people's name better than you know your name. And Denzel get $20 million every movie he go into. And you sitting there, ooh, look at Denzel, look at that. Then you use your imagination to become Denzel and have you some money where your wife can wear a ring bigger than a knuckle. People call these kind of sicknesses psychomatic sicknesses, which means the sickness is not real, but only in the mind. See, can you go with this? However, the fact remains that through the power of negative imagination, people can take a negative report about a spreading disease and develop such a strong image of that disease in their mind that their body manifests the physical symptom. Go opposite. Go opposite now. Go opposite. Go opposite quick. Go opposite of that. Go opposite quick. I said go opposite of that. Go opposite quick. Go opposite. 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 Oh! Opposite. Opposite. Go opposite. Just like it worked negatively, it'll work positively. Now, here's one of the things. You can't see yourself as somebody else's husband. See, the word of God has to conform your imagination. So if what you imagine don't fit with the scripture, God ain't going to back it up. Because Satan will give you that joker. And you'll call a woman and tell him, come get him back. I'm so sorry. The lady who you took him from singing, I'm so glad trouble don't last always. You think you done something. That's right. Go back to Genesis chapter 11. Let's look at verse 6 again. Because what I'm going to say next, you're going to need seat belts. That's why you see that seat belt side there? That's why we put them in here. But sometimes it gets the rumbling up in here and you can't hold your seat. Now notice what the last part of that sixth verse says. That sixth verse says, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do, and he's talking negative. On the other hand, spiritually, positively, God way, he created you in his own image. I spoke this word to Montreal, one of my sons, and I know there's cults out there. And I really don't know if this is a word, but I'm going to make it a word for me. Imaging. See it. See what God said about you. Hold it in place. Sit down with it for a moment. And say, I'm exactly who God said I am. I'm losing my faith. Everything about to change. Ha, ha, ha. You don't get this? The glory, the Lord come. I'm just reading and talking, but the Lord, if the Lord here, the Lord here, listen to me. Tonight is a turning point in your life. Listen to me. You can do this. You trust me?
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you what's right. You can do this properly, and the system will wonder where you're going. Because you get to a point where you don't live by system standard no more. You listening to me?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say something. I think the Holy Spirit can work within your life. You deserve the best. You turn your back on the world. Satan jump on your back trying to stop you, but God kept you by grace. You deserve the best. And he can't stop you from having the best. But you got to get out of your routine. Instead of walking in routine, you got to walk in revelation. Instead of walking in religion, you got to walk in realities. I speak this on you tonight. I've had glimpse of the good life. You know. And I've seen people living a good life. Loving God, but living big. The two goals together. Your defeats are dishonor to God. You must not remain in defeat. You must declare, decree something God said to you that gonna cause you to walk in dominion instead of defeat. Hear me now. Hear me now. Hear me now. It doesn't matter your last name. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter what side of the track you live on. It doesn't matter did you make A's or D's in school. This is a spiritual matter that the Lord said your imagination, Lord, should I say this? Will place your life on vacation. Every day of your life, you're going to be on vacation because you're going to be in such an ecstasy with God, and you know your rights, and you're walking in boldness, and you're walking in strength, and walking in the Holy Ghost, and you're walking in the Word, and you're walking in victory, and walking in triumph, and walking in joy, walking in peace, walking in His goodness, walking by faith, walking in the Spirit. Doesn't matter what happened, I'm victorious. I'm in contact and connection with somebody who can handle anything. Even death itself. The Lord declared to me, don't you settle for less. For I provided for you to have the best. If that is the most truthful word you ever hear, here in your life, and these same words I'm going to speak over you right now. Don't you settle for less, for your Father has provided for you to have the best. The best is yet to come. You haven't seen nothing yet. As you walk in the Word, and as the Word walk in you, you're going to be a mark that cannot be erased. You're going to be a light that can't be put out. People don't get saved because they see your life. I know her, how she got there. I know her family. I know what she's been through. But there she walking over there. She's a different woman. How she got there? Walking by faith, being led by the Spirit, giving God the glory. He did it. Come on, put your finger up there. He did it. You got to get there. He did it.
He did it.
He's doing it right now.
I'll never be the same
after this night.
All
right, you may be seated. I'm going to teach you a little more. Don't let him build those negative strongholds in your imagination. Stop him. Say, no, this the way going to go. And one of the things you got to do, sometimes you got to say it out loud. Say the opposite. Get up. Say, I want to make an announcement. This is what's going to happen to me. My body going to be healed. The healing power going through my body now. I got plenty of money in my pocket. The money just keep on coming. The day will come, you listening?
Yes, sir.
Where you be able to write the bank a note. I don't need you no more. But you need me because I'm the lender, so I'm going to put some of my money in you so you can lend it. And no reason for you to be with me. With the anointing God has put on my life, with the evidence I put before you, with the ignorant slide I came off of to prove that it's not by might, no, by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Some of you all came up with me. You watched it with your very eyes. You saw what God did. You see what God's doing. Is unexplainable. You come to a materialist, I have two jets. Two full-time pilots. I can call them right now and go anywhere in the world. Preach the gospel. First class. You're a part of this. Why would you stop separating yourself from me? You're a part of this. Catch on. Connect. Hold on. Hold on. Many times I told you a story about Charles Mitchell, who's been with me a long time. Charles, the mother guy, didn't know how to do it. Charles, when I was going in places that everybody couldn't go in there, you know, they had a special place for us. And Charles grabbed my Bible and said, Charles, I'm with him. He get in every time. The other guy said that, why we can't come in? You miss your connection, the thing gone. If anybody knows that I'm not Jesus, I know. But if you work the word, you can operate like him and give him the glory. Come on. God did it.
God did it.
I'm here tonight. God did it.
God did.
So I'm glad I didn't miss it.
It.
You're going to be looking in a new mirror the rest of your life after the night. Because I'm about to make a few statements to you right now. Sit down. You want to write this. Your imagination, you listening?
Yes, sir.
Your imagination, you listening?
Yes, sir.
Your imagination birthed. Bondage or breakthrough? You heard that?
Yes, sir.
Your imagination birth. Bondage or breakthrough? Now, all these revelations come up to me, I read a lot. And when I see it, I take it. I've been looking for some of this stuff for 40 years. Your imagination birth. Bondage. And I'm telling you. The church more on the negative side than the birthright side. Birthright side. I said another word now. See, birthright side. They're more on the negative side than your birthright side. Satan has tapped into the power of the imagination to destroy people's lives in so many ways. Good God Almighty. But notice the power of your imagination don't belong to him. He can't take it unless you give it to him. And I know you ain't wasting my time. And you're going to leave here and give it to him? You can lay down in the bed tonight and say, you ain't going to make it. You know you ain't got no more than $83. And don't your left leg hurt a little bit? And I believe where you're working, they're about to shut it down. Well, let it shut it down. God might be about trying to take me somewhere else. Then go down. And I ain't going down with it, you see. Listen. But notice the power of the imagination, or your imagination, does not belong to him, Satan. Watch now. It belongs to those who want to connect their imagination with the Spirit of God. See, that soul-spirit connection, those five things have to be sanctified with the Word of God, with the will of God, with the ways of God. Your feeling can be sanctified. Your emotion, your reasoning. And when I get the reason, I'm going to take you to the scripture to show you, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And always be ready to give a reason to every man for the hope that is in you in Christ Jesus. When we connect our imagination with the Spirit of God, so many marvelous things can happen. This is a very important key here. You ready? It's a very important key. What time is it? 8:18. It's a very important key. The key is to base it upon the highest potentials of a promise, a command fulfilled from the Word of God. See, here's the key. You train your imagination to its highest potential by taking a promise, a command of God, and put that in it. Feed your imagination with what God said. And I'll close with this one because I think this is good homework for you. We can also imagine, watch this now, who we are in God's eyes. Loved, accepted, his children, forgiven, holy, strong, blessed, provided for, and so much more. You can always do that. You can always sit down, because the word, everything I said, the word said that about you. You can always, in your imagination, who you are in God's eye. All hell in the natural broke loose. Even in the demonic spiritual world, but you sit there in your imagination and say, I'm loved by God. Jesus loved me. This I know. The Bible tells me so. For God so loved the world, he gave. You see what I'm saying? Then you could say, I in your imagination, I know I'm accepted. Even though I messed up. But God still loved me. And God forgive me. I don't have to live in condemnation. See what happened? People messed up and Satan get them to think they can't recover. Shame on you. Condemnation. Then the church kill all their wounded. You can't tell the church. Go tell a psychologist, go to a doctor somewhere, but don't tell a church member. You're a dead duck. Don't sit on a row with me, you heifer. Don't get in this row. Don't get on this row. And all the women need is a little love. She done made a mistake and some jolted and come along talking a lot of trash and caused her to do something she knows she shouldn't have done. And now she won't get right and she told you. But now Jesus, the woman with adultery, talking about the court of honor now. Give me a minute here. Jesus said, all right. Now the woman couldn't commit adultery by herself. Adultery take two. And it take a man and a woman because homosexual can't commit adultery. They never was married. I don't know why y'all get all upset with these people. These people illegal. I don't care who endorses. I don't care who say what. God always going to have the last word. So don't y'all get so upset about what people are talking about and all that stuff. Don't get all upset about that. The man shall handle this. I have full confidence. That the man gonna straighten some tears out. Full confidence. So don't get scared. Ain't gonna be no takeover because I'm here. And you here, right? Ain't gonna be no takeover. All right, let me close. Can I give you one more? Because I want you to work on this one. The problem people have is that they read that the Bible says this and that about them, but their imagination don't take a hold of it. All right now, let me sit on a step here a minute. And I can get up too. In Bible study tomorrow, when you're reading your meditation or reading the scriptures, stop and give your imagination a chance. See what you're reading. And that's the way it's going to drop down in your spirit. Are you following me? See what you're reading on tomorrow. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We have to finish this class. We know there's a lot of more points here we've got to give to the body of Christ here in Darrow and around the world by internet, and probably thousands of people watching tonight. And we pray, God, that the word take root in their heart and produce images in their imagination that will bring them to total victory, to be blessed, blessed, blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's give the Lord some praise. Now, you're about to give your offering. You know, I don't give no offering stories and all that and try to pump you to give no money.